Chapter 1. Sunday, 28th June, 1914. It was a fine summer's day in England. In fact, one of a string of bright days, languid and unhurried, full of promise. As if the weeks to come stretched out in an endless spool of long leisurely afternoons on the lawn, croquet mallets and tea trays, men in summer white, women in frothy wide-brimmed hats, and girls with blue ribbon sashes. Peaceful, measured, and like the Empire, destined to go on forever. The distant sound of gunfire was too faint to hear. It disturbed no dreams, it marred no plans, it stirred no fears. Nevertheless, before the sun set on this fine summer day, the lives of a handful of people would have been changed by murder. Ian Rutledge drove down to Kent on Friday morning, having been given leave from his duties at Scotland Yard after a fortnight of hunting a suspect through Derbyshire. With him was Jean Gordon, whom he'd been seeing for some time. Melinda Crawford had invited a number of people for a house party, taking advantage of the fine weather. She was an excellent hostess, and everyone had a very pleasant weekend. By Sunday afternoon, the party had begun to break up. Frances Rutledge had said goodbye to her brother and Melinda shortly after the El Fresco luncheon, travelling back to London with the Kerrs, who had brought her down. Ross Trevor, Rutledge's close friend, had gone off to the tennis court with another guest, demanding revenge for a disastrous defeat on Saturday afternoon. And Ian had strolled in the direction of the lake with Miss Gordon. Melinda sat in her favourite wicker chair on the terrace, shaded by a white lace parasol trimmed with pale green ribbons. With half her mind, she listened to the shouts and laughter from the tennis players, easily picking out Ross Trevor's baritone. Despite his high spirits, she thought he was unhappy about something. Or someone. She had tried to speak to Ian about that, but the Gordon woman clung to him like a limpet. If she got no satisfaction from Ian before the weekend was over, she'd say something to David Trevor, Ross's father and Ian's godfather, when next she saw him. But much as she cared for him, it wasn't Ross Trevor who had occupied her thoughts most of this weekend. It was Ian and the girl he'd apparently become rather serious about. Frances had mentioned Jean Gordon in a few of her letters, which in itself was a sign. Melinda had noted it and acted accordingly. She made a point of travelling to London several times, but Ian had been busy at the yard and she'd had only a few opportunities to meet Jean. The girl was lovely, there was no doubt of that. Small and delicate boned, bright and charming from an excellent family. A perfect choice in many ways, and together they did make quite a handsome pair. But Melinda had found Jean shallow. That was when she had decided to arrange a house party. It was important, she told herself, to be fair, to give the girl a chance. Jean could have been overawed by the attentions of Ian's formidable, elderly family connection. And so Melinda had drawn up a list of young people, arranged for caterers and a small orchestra for Saturday evening, and then invited Ian first to be absolutely certain he could come down. And the more time she'd spent in Miss Gordon's company, the more she dreaded the thought that Ian might marry her. Melinda, old enough to be Ian Rutledge's grandmother, had been friends with his parents before he was born. And of all the young people she was close to, this was the one she loved the most. Frances, attractive and bright, had inherited her mother's grace and steadiness. She would do very well. And Ross, too, in the end, whatever was worrying him at the moment. Melinda's young cousin Bess had her mother's spirit and her father's clear mind. There was nothing to worry about there. She'd been invited for the weekend as well, of course, but she and her parents were in the south of France visiting with friends from India. In spite of her careful planning, the weekend had not gone precisely as Melinda Crawford had expected. Jean had seized the chance to spend more time in Ian's company, and rather than sharing him with the other guests, she had often contrived to separate him from his sister and his friend Ross. Now, trying to tell herself that a walk through the wood to the lake was cooler than the tennis court, and that it was the only reason Ian and Jean had gone off on their own, Melinda waited for them to return. They had set out after lunch, talking companionably as they disappeared into the trees. They had also disappeared for a while after dinner the night before, and she'd found them in the gardens. Their voices low, their laughter intimate, their chairs drawn close. She had been fearful that he might propose them, but nothing had been said at breakfast, and Melinda had felt almost faint with relief.